This is Under Pressure, a medical podcast. Join us with our host, Glenn Clark, as we dive deeper into various wound care, vascular and hyperbaric medicine treatments and conditions. Each episode features a different medical professional providing a multidisciplinary approach on ways to properly heal.
Welcome to Under Pressure, a medical podcast. I'm Glenn Clark, and I'm joined this week by Dr. Richard Franklin. Dr. Richard Franklin is a medical director for MVS Wound Care and Hyperbarics. He graduated from the University of Maryland School of Medicine in 1986 and completed his residency as Chief Resident General Surgery at Union Memorial Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Franklin has also participated in countless presentations, aiding in the education of medical treatments. Dr. Franklin, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
It's great to see you. So, we're going to talk a little bit about burns this week.
Okay.
What is the most common way that a physician might treat a burn? And do you see more of these during the warmer months because of grilling and bonfires and that type of fun activities?
Well, we see burns year-round. In the winter, we tend to see them from heater accidents, home heaters, indoor heaters, house fires, that type of thing. Whereas in the summer, yeah, you're going to see them from bonfires and grilling accidents and people trying to cook outside and maybe splattering grease on themselves. But they are a year-round problem for the most part.
So it's not there's not a greater number of them that we see during the course of the summer?
Not really. We tend to see them throughout the year.
So what is the most common way that a physician might treat a burn?
Most burns, unless they're severe and requiring a burn center specialized care, which is not something that we offer, are going to be treated just with topical medications, Silvadine being one of the more common ones. It's strictly a burn drug, although it is used for a few other things by some physicians. But there are several different topical medications that we can use. Sometimes people will require antibiotics. And depending on the depth or size of the burn and body surface area of the burn, we might be treating them surgically as well with removing or debriding dead tissue, possibly doing skin grafting or even flaps. There's something called an escharotomy where you're going to cut through a full thickness burn so that the tissues underneath can survive because it acts almost like a tourniquet when it's that deep of a burn. So there's several different ways of treating burns.
So it's you basically read ahead and went right to my next question was going to be, does it change based on the severity of the burn? And the answer is very clearly, yes, it does.
Absolutely. It depends on the severity of the burn, how deep it is, first, second, third degree. You know, most people will think of a first degree burn. The easiest way to think about it is just a bad sunburn, whereas second degree is a blistering burn into the skin. It tends to be very painful, but a third-degree burn, the full thickness of the skin is burned. The nerves underneath are burned. It tends not to hurt. So it depends on the depth of the burn, but it also depends on surface area, how much is involved. So if somebody, for example, has a grease splatter and has something about the size of a dime on the back of their hand, treatment will be significantly different than if they spilled a pot of boiling water down their front and burned the entire abdominal wall.
No question. Boy, these are terrifying things to think about, but it's certainly grateful that people like you know what you're doing when things like that were to occur. In what instances, as we talk about burns, would hyperbaric oxygen therapy be used in order to heal or expedite a person's healing process?
Hyperbaric therapy is clearly indicated and recognized as a treatment for burns. All acute burns, whether they're thermal, such as a fire, a grease splatter, boiling water, a scald, or even chemical burns. So it's absolutely useful in accelerating healing in an acute burn, not something that's been around for a month that hasn't healed, although we might use hyperbaric therapy for that as well, depending on how the wound is progressing and how deep it is, and other comorbidities that the patient may have, such as diabetes. But for the most part, we will treat some burn patients, especially with larger surface area burns, in an effort to accelerate their healing.
So I wanted you to tell me a little bit more about that. What does it do? What does that treatment do to accelerate the healing process?
So with any type of an ulcer or a wound or injury, hyperbaric therapy, amongst other things, increases the amount of oxygen delivered to a wound. Oxygen has to work from the inside out. You can't blow oxygen on somebody's skin or an ulcer and expect it to work. You have to breathe it in. It works from the inside out. It's generally what we call spiked, or once a day, maybe twice a day. It's also used in burn patients with inhalation injuries, such as smoke inhalation or carbon monoxide poisoning. But that's generally done in this city down at University of Maryland Shock Trauma, where they have a multi-place hyperbaric chamber, and they have people inside, and they can monitor people in an ICU fashion, whereas we do this as an outpatient and don't do that kind of monitoring. But hyperbaric therapy ultimately increases the oxygen levels to the area. And the best way to think of oxygen, aside from cells needing oxygen to function, it acts like a stem cell magnet. So it pulls along the cells that you need to help clean up the wound, the white cells that you need to fight the infection. And it also pulls along the cells, the fibroblasts, the epithelial cells, that are useful in reconstructing and healing that wound. So it has several different functions besides just increasing the amount of oxygen that's found in that wound. Most wounds, If you follow them, and the ones that respond well to oxygen, such as a burn, they all have pretty much the same final common pathway. You're going to decrease inflammation and increase healing by bringing in the appropriate cells that are necessary to clean up and heal the wound.
What might this process look like, doctor, if someone is using hyperbaric oxygen treatment for a burn?
Generally, burns, for the most part, when we're treating them with hyperbaric therapy, they're going to heal fairly quickly. So you're not looking at the 1 to 2 months, possibly 3 month therapy that you would necessarily for a diabetic foot ulcer. This would be a daily treatment, possibly a twice a day treatment, excluding, for example, the carbon monoxide poisoning that I mentioned earlier. It's a 2 hour treatment, generally in a monoplace chamber, meaning just one person's in the chamber.
Okay.
The chambers are fairly large. They're perfectly optically clear. There's a TV outside with a specialized speaker inside, so there's no electricity.
Wow.
We don't want these things blowing up or anything. So a lot of our people will, you know, watch TV, pick a movie. We have a whole bunch of DVDs they can choose from. Some people just choose to take a nap. Honestly, most people put the movie in and take
a nap. Anyway, right, sure.
So, right. Yeah, it tends to be a fairly relaxing type of thing. They go through a full workup ahead of time, so we make sure that their chest is okay. We check their EKG. If they're diabetic, we draw certain labs to make sure that everything is where it should be so that there is as little, if any, risk at all to our patients. We teach them about pressure differences. Just like people's ears pop in an airplane,
great point,
they're going to pop because we refer to everything as a dive. You're going deeper in the water, but there's no water involved. It's just based on scuba diving medicine, not on scuba diving per se. So we teach them how to pop their ears. We have somebody sitting right next to them for the first several dives to make sure that their ears are okay. Certainly don't want to blow out anybody's eardrum. Like I tell everybody when they come in the first time, it's very anxiety provoking.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've been through it one time, it's like, you know, putting on a Band-Aid. It's probably safer than putting on a Band-Aid because you're not going to tear your skin taking it off.
Wow. Wow. So,
you know, we take every precaution. We do this as safely as possible. But burn patients tend to maybe 2 weeks worth of therapy, so 10 treatments, maybe
okay.
20 at the most.
Okay. Again, it's not a situation you want to be in, but given the circumstances, talking about it being relaxing, there are far less pleasant ways to go through some sort of therapy. That seems like it could be far worse things to have to deal with.
Absolutely. We try to make every one of our patients feel at ease. And if, like I said, once they've done this two or three times, it's pretty easy. They come in, they get dressed or undressed, so to speak. You kind of meet the people that you're there with because everybody who dives at the same time. So you see the same three or four
okay.
people every day. The techs and the nurses that are in the room and the doctor tend to be very constant. So you see the same people. It's a very consistent type of an atmosphere for people that really puts them at ease.
He is Dr. Richard Franklin, and he is with us here on Under Pressure, a medical podcast. Doctor, how often would you say that an accident in the kitchen, specifically a burn, a cut, something along those lines, results in needing treatment in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
Honestly, we don't see a whole lot of bad burns that we're treating. We do see some that come out of the burn center out of Bayview that have been treated They're the bigger burns. They've been treated on the inpatient side by them, and then they're referred to us for continued care. If they really need it immediately, especially for things like smoke inhalation and carbon monoxide poisoning, they're generally sent to University Hospital and dealt with in these bigger hospital settings where more advanced ICU-type care is probably necessary because there are big fluid shifts in these patients, and they need care other than just for the wounds, although you treat the wound, you treat the patient, but there are several other things that can be going on with these patients. So we get them once they're out, but need additional time to help them heal. A typical kitchen accident is typically a smaller area or a smaller burn that we can treat topically with very little surgical intervention and probably not a whole lot of hyperbaric necessary unless it's a bigger surface area.
I'm going to ask you a question, doctor. I am like a lot of typical men in their late 30s, right? Something happens. I get a burn in the kitchen. Whatever. It's pain. I'll deal with it. No big deal. What should I be looking out for, you know, if something like that were to happen? Or when I'm grilling season's a big deal in the Clark household. I promise you that. We just got a smoker, too. So it's a very exciting summer ahead for us. What should I be looking out for? When is a burn no longer something that I can just say, no big deal, I'll be all right?
Burns will tend to increase in size over time if they're not dealt with almost immediately. So if you do have a burn, the first thing you want to do is run it under cold water.
Yep.
And then you're going to watch it. You're going to have a little bit of redness around it because the surrounding tissues have been burned as well. But that's the first degree burn, the sunburn part of it next to the blister. But if it seems to be getting deeper or spreading quickly, or the pain is getting worse instead of better, or you start having fevers and sweats and chills, or numbness and tingling in an extremity that may have been burned, you clearly want to seek out medical intervention sooner than later. You don't want to play around with it because it may be as simple as let's open up the blister, make sure you don't need antibiotics and put you on a topical medication. But if it's something more serious, you want to deal with it sooner so you don't have loss of function or loss of nerve and sensation or deepening of the ulcer or deepening of the burn, because burns will continue to deepen unless dealt with fairly soon. But clearly the first thing you want to do is run it under cold water and leave it under cold water for a while. Stop the burn, stop the heat, dilute out the chemical if it's a chemical burn. And yeah, grilling season's a big thing. We grill year round, so having a smoker, I envy you. I'd like to have
very
one.
Very excited about it. I was also going to follow up and say, do you have any advice, just hypothetically, for someone maybe if they forgot to put gloves on as they were chopping jalapenos for bacon-wrapped jalapenos? You know, hypothetically, not something specifically that I know anybody has ever gone through at all. But, you know, hypothetically, doctor, if something like that were to happen, any advice there?
Absolutely. Don't put them in your eyes.
No question. And I would suggest washing your hands before you go to the bathroom, too. A suggestion that I would have. Doctor, something we'd like to ask everybody who joins us here in Under Pressure. What's something that you learned when you were in medical school that you still do or follow or believe, practice to this day?
It's all about the patient. So sit down, talk to your patient, get a really good history. Know exactly what's going on. When I was still doing major general surgery a year and a half ago, and I would be called by the emergency room and got a phone call, we need you to come in the middle of the night. The CAT scan shows whatever it shows. I'm like, but how long has the patient been sick? I don't know. How is the examination? Are they tender? Are they not tender? Why do you need me to come in right now? Don't tell me what the CAT scan shows. Talk to your patients. 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you more information than any test we're going to get. And you can make the diagnosis without even making an examination sometimes. You can figure out what the problem is. Everything else is just confirmatory. So the one thing I tell all the students and residents that I deal with is always sit down, take a good history, listen to your patients.
So important. And it's something that you learned and stayed with you to this day. That's incredible. Doctor, is there anything that we haven't covered about burns in relation to hyperbaric therapy? Anything that we haven't touched on that you think would be important for people to know about?
I just want to say that, you know, early intervention is better than late intervention. If you have any questions about it, just give us a call. We'll see you in the wound center. If hyperbaric therapy is appropriate, we'll talk to you about it then. We're not going to force you in the chamber.
Right.
But again, it's safer than putting on a Band-Aid. It may sound scary when we describe everything that can
happen.
Do you
deal with a lot of reluctance? Do you deal with?
I have a lot of patients, and you can see it in just about everybody's face because I go through everything with them, and all of a sudden they're scared, and I'm just like, you know, it's really a lot easier than you think.
Right.
People come in and say, I'm claustrophobic. I can't get into the chamber. I'm like, can you get into a car? And like, yeah, I can get into a car. I'm like, yeah. Why can you get in a car? There's a big windshield. Well, this is a giant windshield. The whole thing's clear. And we get people through who swear they'd never get into a chamber. I think I've had one patient with claustrophobia in the last 10 years who was unable to complete his treatment.
Wow.
So we can get people through. We'll talk you through it. We'll sit next to you. But always remember, earlier intervention is better because the best thing that happens is you come in, you show me something. I'm like, you know, it's really not anything to worry about.
Yep.
Try this. It'll be fine. Come see me in a week. You don't need, you know, advanced care or anything like that. It'll be okay. I'd much rather tell you that than 3 weeks later say, I need to do surgery. You need a skin graft. We need to cut into this. You might lose a finger. Earlier intervention, better intervention. It's always better to be seen and told it's really nothing to worry about.
Better safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
At that point. Dr. Franklin, again, people can find out more by going to mvswoundcare.com. It's a great resource for more information. Dr. Franklin, it's tremendous to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming and spending a few minutes with us this week.
It's my pleasure. And if anybody has questions, you can always go to our website that was just, you know, mvs.com. And you can always email me. My email is there someplace on the website. Or give us a call, and any one of us will be more than willing to talk to you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Franklin. This has been Under Pressure, a medical podcast. The information stated on the podcast is for educational purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. We strongly recommend consulting a medical professional or healthcare provider if you are seeking medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.